Welcome to Sunday Morning at Faith Assembly, featuring the ministry of Senior Pastor Phil Goss. We're glad you've joined us. Now, here's Pastor Goss.
We're in a series that we've entitled, Bringing Out Your Best. Bringing Out Your Best. And what we want to do is come to that place where we understand that God can take our lives and bring out the very best of us, because He knows what's in us and He knows what He wants to do inside of us. And so we've been looking at Romans chapter 12, look at it in your notes. Okay, he'll play with it. We'll look at it. Okay? So here's what I want you to do. God helping you, take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for Him. Don't become so well-adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what He wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings out the best of you, develops well-formed maturity in you. So that's what God wants to do. Okay, we're still not working. It'll be up there. I'll just ignore that. I mean, you can ignore it too, okay? So this morning, we're going to talk about choosing to follow. Now, we talked about the first week how you have to live by faith. It all begins with faith. That's how you come to Christ. That's how you live for Christ. It's all done by faith. And then once you come to faith, God wants you to have freedom, doesn't He? And that freedom can only come when you change how you think. When you begin to think God's thoughts, not your thoughts. God's ways, not your ways. And then I have to make a choice. Am I going to follow God with where I'm at? Now, the text says in chapter 12 of Romans, verse 2, readily recognize what He wants from you and quickly respond to it. What does God want from you? Well, what God wants from you is for you to have right relationships. That's what He wants. You see, life a lot of times is like being on a crowded elevator. You're around a lot of people, but you're just looking somewhere off into space so you don't have to make eye contact with anybody. You don't want to have to talk. You just watch those numbers go up or down. You maybe look at the floor, you maybe do this, and it's possible to be in that crowded environment and not feel connected to anyone. It's possible to be in a church and you're around a lot of people, but all you do is kind of come in, walk out, get in, get out. The least noticed you are, the better you like it. And I am there, and that's what my life is, just trying to avoid uncomfortable circumstances and situations. But if you're going to be the person that God wants you to be, you have to understand that God doesn't take relationships lightly, that they become very important in your life and in your walk with God. And so there is no such thing as a life without connections. You have to have, you need connections. Unfortunately, one of our biggest problems with this today is this little handheld device we have called a phone. And see, you can look on that phone and say, see, I've got this many friends, and they all like me. And when I put something in there, they put a like, and yeah, that's good, that's good. And see, and if they don't like me and put that, I can delete them. And, you know, so, Pastor, I'm connected with people. I know people. I've got their, yeah, in a sense, that's a part of it. But there's nothing that will replace a face-to-face connection that you and I have to have. And so, what does God want from you? He wants you to be connected to Him and to others. Well, Pastor, come on. That's really what He wants? Okay, you don't believe me. Will you believe Him? Yeah. All right. So, where it starts is relationships are commanded. God commands us to have relationships. Jesus is asked a question. Someone comes up to Him, Master, what's the greatest thing I need to do? what's the most important above everything else? What is it you want from me? God, Jesus, what do you want from me? What is it that really matters? And Jesus replies, the most important commandment is this. Listen, O Israel, the Lord our God is the one and only Lord, and you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and all your strength. The second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. No other commandment is greater than these. So the commandment is, I got to love God and love my neighbor, which, by the way, the story of the Good Samaritan, who is your neighbor? It's whoever you see. It's whoever you come across. So Jesus says, here it is. The most important thing you need to do, the most important thing I want from you is I want you to love me and have a relationship with me. I don't want you to serve me out of ritual or regulation. I want you to love me with all your heart, with everything you are. Don't miss this. The most important relationship in your life is your relationship with God. And so it comes to that place where he says, this is what I want. 1 John chapter 3, verse 22. This is his commandment. We must believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another just as he commands. Those who obey God's commandments remain in fellowship with him and he with them. And we know he lives in us because of the Spirit he gave in us, lives in us. We know he's there. So what's he command? You got to love people. Okay, I say it, but is it really that important? Relationships are critical. Now, why? Because here's the way God operates. You see, he knows it's really easy for you to say, oh, I love God with all my heart, my mind, my soul. He knows you can say that, and you know what? Nobody can question you about it, can they? Only he and you know. So he does something very wise. He says, here's how this is going to work on earth while you're here. You're not going to be able to pull the wool over people's eyes. You're not going to be able to give them a snow job somewhere. You're not going to be able to do that, because here's what I'm going to tell you. You will show your love for me by the way you love other people. Oh. Because anybody can say they love God, right? People who aren't even Christian. Oh, yeah, I like God. Love him. Good guy. And he says, look, if you really love me, this is what I expect. And this is how you show it and how you demonstrate it. Romans 13:9. For the commandments say, you must not commit adultery, you must not murder, you must not steal, you must not covet. These and other such commandments are summed up in this one commandment. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to others. How are you doing those relationships? How do I know whether I'm doing right with that? It does no wrong to another person. No wrong. So love fulfills the requirements of God's law. Hebrews chapter 6. For God is not unjust. He will not forget how hard you've worked for him, how you have shown your love to him by caring for other believers as you still do. Our great desire is that you will, here it is, keep on loving others as long as life lasts. That means until you take your last breath on this planet, you will be loving other people. Aren't you glad you came this morning? Oh, everybody? Yes. In order to make certain that what you hope for will come true, then you will not become spiritually dull and indifferent. Instead, you will follow the example of those who are going to inherit God's promises because of their faith and their endurance. See, the heart of all relationships is love. And God says, I'm commanding you, I'm telling you, this is what I want more than anything else. I want you to choose to follow me. And the way you follow me is you love me with everything that you are and everything that you have. Because if you do that, you'll keep all the rules, the regulations, the laws, whatever you want to call it. You'll behave properly. And the way you're going to demonstrate that is by how you relate to other people. And so that's the heart of all relationship. In fact, John later on goes on and puts this, now we can tell who are the children of God and who are the children of the devil. Oh, we can? How do we do that? Anyone who does not live righteously and does not love other believers does not belong to God. That's pretty blunt. That's pretty clear, isn't it? Hello? Okay. This wasn't working. I thought maybe the sound wasn't working. I'm sorry. And so you come to that place where you realize, you know, if you can, well, Pastor, you know what? I'll love them, but I don't like them. No. You can't do that. You know, does God say to you, I love you, but I don't like you? No. You may not like what they do, but you still must like them and love them. I'm going to say this. Your spiritual, my spiritual health is determined by our relationships with other people. You want to know how you're doing with God? It's very simple. Look at how you're doing with other people. Well, I can't get along with anybody. Well, you've just included God in that picture, haven't you? So you and I come to that place where we understand God has commanded it. And he says it's critical because it is the barometer, the thermometer, whatever you want to call it, of your walk with me. And if you want to take a little litmus test of how well you're doing spiritually, all you have to do is look at how well you're getting along with other people. And if you're not getting along with other people well, then you're not doing well spiritually. Clear? Didn't ask you if you liked it, just clear. All right? Then, relationships have to be pursued consistently. Relationships do not just happen. You have to pursue them. You have to want them. You have to open the door for them. You have to let other people in. Some of you have got yourselves so locked up, nobody can get into that. And you need to open that door. And so you need to pursue them. I want more relationships. Proverbs 21:21. Whoever pursues righteousness and unfailing love will find life, righteousness, and honor. Wow. That's pretty clear, right? So I have to work, I have to pursue this. I have to pursue it. Okay, how do I do that? Well, let me just give you a few things. This is a huge thing that we could take a lot of time with. And, you know, fortunately, I try to obey the clock, so don't worry. Really work at important relationships. Now, there's two things here I want to make sure we're clear on. Number one is work. All relationships are work. Anybody here married? You see, there's this mistaken idea out there that if I find the right person, we call it our soulmate. This makes you want to gag, doesn't it? This person's just going to be the person. Oh, this person will complete me. No one completes you but God. You know, if I could just have this person, then we'd always get along and we'd live happily ever after. We all agree. You know, it's funny to me. You know, we'll talk with couples engaged and get married and we'll talk. And, oh, yeah, we agree on everything. We're just really perfect for each other. I said, come back and see me in 3 months. We'll see how that goes. Because you have to work at a relationship, no longer how long you're in it. It never just runs itself. It never just, you put it on an autopilot and it goes on. It doesn't. And so I have to nurture and protect relationships. Now, the important relationship, not all relationships are the same. Some are closer to me than others. I can love people, I can like people, but some people just come closer than other people do. And there's different levels. And relationships are never stagnant. They have their ups and downs, highs and lows. So I want to just give you two relationships that are extremely critical. There's, you know, we could talk about marriage and that's an important relationship. But I want to talk about these two because they apply to every single one of us. I need to develop my relationship with God. Now, I've already said it, but let me say it again. There is no relationship in your life, none, that is more important and more critical than your relationship with God. If you've got a good relationship with God, you will get along with other people. But if you don't, you're going to struggle in those relationships, aren't you? Because you can't do it on your own. And so I need to understand that my relationship with God is work. I have to spend time with God. God doesn't want me just to go through the rituals and check all the boxes. God says, I don't want just blind obedience and you doing it because you have to. I want a relationship, and if you'll love me with all your heart and everything that you are, all the other stuff will be okay because you'll do that because you love me. And so it becomes a critical thing. I've got to spend time with him, talk to him, read about him. I've got to do all these things that every day in my life, I need this relationship above everything else because if this relationship is my priority and if I can do it well, everything else will be fine in my life. Jeremiah 29:13. If you look for me wholeheartedly, you'll find me. Now that's good news. God doesn't hide himself from you. Well, but I've tried this relationship with God and he's just so distant. Please hear me. That's not God's fault. That's yours. God doesn't move. God doesn't play hide and seek with you. He's there. He wants you to find him. But it is work. The thing about work is this. You don't always feel like it, do you? If you're married, you don't always feel like loving that other person, do you? You know, unless you're me and you're married to my wife, I always, you know. Yeah, right. You don't always feel like it. See, we've got the idea that love's a feeling. It's not. Love's a choice. You choose to follow. And you make that choice. If you look at me, you'll find me. Luke 12:21. Yes, a person is a fool to store up earthly wealth but not have a rich relationship with God. Now that's pretty blunt, isn't it? And so I need to develop my relationship. It's a critical relationship. I've got to pursue that one. Second one, I need to develop a relationship with God's family. I don't like these people here. They talk about me. They're unfriendly. In fact, I just walked by somebody in the hallway, looked at them and said hello, and they never responded back to me. Well, you know why it was. Their hearing aid was turned off, and they couldn't hear you. You just never know, do you? See, what we do is we enter a relationship with just our relatives, the close family. And why do we have that one? They have to like me as I am. They have to put up with all my junk. I can be who I am with them and they won't be able to say anything. You know, that one I'm comfortable with because I know them. I've been around them a long time. But see, the Bible talks about you're a part of a family of God. And you have in this room brothers and sisters in Christ. And you're part of God's family. And we all need to get along. And I need to have relationships. Now remember, all relationships are different. I don't have to end them in relationships with everybody. But you know what? I should be able to walk through this, into this building and out of this building, look people around, say, hi, how you doing? Good to see you. Not just put my head down, hurry, get out of my way. I want to get out of here. Don't talk to me. Or, you know, you cut out early so that you can miss everybody. I know part of it is you don't like all the traffic, but other than that, you know, it's just, you know, Ephesians. So now you Gentiles, who's the Gentiles? We are. You Gentiles are no longer strangers and foreigners. You are citizens along with all of God's holy people. You are members of God's family. Together, we're His house, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, and the cornerstone is Christ Himself. We are carefully joined together in Him. God wants to build a house, and He wants to use you as part of the construction material, the stones, the brick, if you will, the block, if you will, and He wants to take you and merge you together so that together you can form this great place that God dwells, becoming a holy temple for the Lord. Through Him, you Gentiles are also being made part of this dwelling where God lives by His Spirit. So God's building us. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10. I appeal to your dear brothers and sisters by the authority of our Lord Jesus Christ. Live in harmony with each other. Let there be no divisions in the church. Rather, be of one mind, united in one thought and purpose. Why don't we like relationships? Because relationships are a place where I don't get to have my way most of the time. You see, we want relationships where I always get what I want. And if you don't do what I want, I'll get distant. I'll put a barrier up. I won't let you come close because after all, you're not doing what I think you should do. So why does God make relationships so critical? To help you quit being the stubborn, prideful person you are. So that you have to change. Because when you get in relationships, you got to compromise, don't you? You got to be willing to work through stuff. You can't just go off in a huff and just, oh, I don't want anything more to do with them. They did that and I don't agree. First of all, you're probably wrong for their motives. You're wrong in how you look at it. You've made a mistake in that one. And you can hang on to that all you want. And all it'll do is create problems for you and your life. God says, look, I want you to get together. And that means you're going to have to lay down all of your issues that you want to hold on to and having to think that you always get to have your way. And if you want me to help you grow up, I'm going to use other people to help you do that. Well, I don't like those other people. Then stay the unfinished product that you are and never become the person you were meant to be. That's what God wants to do. That's why we need each other. Oh, I just need somebody to support me. No, you need somebody to challenge you. I just need somebody who agrees with me. No, you don't. You need somebody who's going to be honest with you. We don't like honesty, do we? Now, I'll go on. You repair broken relationships. See, if you're going to follow God, you have to have a growing relationship with God and His family. That means you're going to have to repair some of the relationships that you got. Now, I already know what some of you are doing. But, Pastor, I've got this one. You don't want me to be in that one, do we? No, no one should ever physically hurt you. But why is it that we always go to that one? And do you understand that by focusing on that one, you are damaging your other relationships? Happens all the time. Well, I know what you're saying, but this one person did this, and I had this person do that, and we get fixated on that, and then wonder why we struggle. You see, God says, look, I need you to be willing to change. Make allowance for each other's faults. Forgive anyone who offends you. You might want to circle the word anyone. Remember the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Oh, I'll forgive them, but I'll never trust them again. Then you haven't forgiven them, have you? Now, I'm not saying you shouldn't have some boundaries. I'm not saying, you know, please hear me, because I know a lot of people just want to always go there and camp out there and use that as justification for why you can't do this. But that's not the way God made it. And so I have to come to that place where I have to be willing to do everything I can to have healthy relationships. And if there's some that have a breach in them, I need to fix that. That basically begins with forgiveness. Well, I'll forgive them, but I'm not going to ever let them back. No, no, no. Now, In order to do that, this has to be mutual, doesn't it? You can't have a relationship that's just one-sided. There has to be a mutuality to this. That's why Romans 12, verse 18 says, do all that you can to live in peace with everybody. Now, if somebody chooses not to reciprocate, not to respond that, you've done all that you can, haven't you? And so I have to repair the broken relationships because do everything I can. Because does God ever say to you, I've had enough, I don't want any more, I'm getting away from you, I can't tolerate you anymore, you've done this to me and I'll never forgive you for it? Does God ever do that to you? Then God says, look, if I don't do that to you, you're to love others like I love you. And you shouldn't be doing that to other people. I'll move on. Time's running away. Reject any harmful relationships. Well, Pastor, I thought you said we had to mend relationships and repair them. Well, we do, but we also have to understand, what's a harmful relationship? A harmful relationship is any relationship that hinders my walk with God. A relationship that doesn't help me be closer to God, but tends to take me farther away. That means there's some people, I can still love them, I can still talk to them, I can still, you know, be a part, but I can't let them influence my life. Little secret. When my kids were home, I don't know that they always knew this. Probably a lot of times they did not. I chose their friends for them. Dad, I'd like to go out with so-and-so. No, I think we got something else to do. Can I go? Well, no, we're here. You see, because you don't want them to be influenced by the wrong people. I wish I could do that for a lot of adults. I never went to my kid and said, you're not hanging around that person. That person's ungodly, and I don't want you to see it. Because the moment you do that, where are they going? Right there, just like you. Somebody tells you you can't do it, you're going to do it, aren't you? It's what we do. And so I just kind of, subversive, said, no. We're not going to, we'll keep a distance. We'll be friendly. We'll still care for them, love them, but we're not going to let them have a place of influence. Psalm 119, I'm a friend to anyone who fears you, anyone who obeys your commandments. Proverbs 13:20, walk with the wise, become wise. Associate with fools, get in trouble. Well, you know what? I'm just going to date this person. I know they're not a Christian and they're not good for me, but they'll see and I'll win them to the Lord. No, no, no. That's not what this says, is it? Well, I got this business deal and I know this other person. We're thinking about becoming partners, and you know what? They're not godly, but I am, and I'll have the... No, no, no. That's not what it says, is it? Don't think you can do that. Understand that the people you want to be close to you will have influence on your life. And you put yourself in a place where godly people are having an influence on your life. 1 Corinthians 15:33. Don't be fooled by those who say such things. Bad company corrupts good character. Count on it. Seldom is it the other way around. Good character will change the bad. Now, bad company. So here I am. I've got to deal with this, and that means I might have to sever some relationships that, you know, those people aren't a good influence in my life. And they take me to a place, I'm not saying they're bad people, I'm just saying they're not godly people. They're just not healthy people for me to be around as a Christian, to put them in a place where they can influence me. Hey, you want to go here, and you want to do this, you want to, no. I got to be careful with that. Because relationships change us. All of them do. Some for the good and some for the bad. Finally, remain open to new relationships. Remain open to new relationships. Well, Pastor, you know, I just don't know anybody. Well, if you, that's you here today, I want you on your way out to stop at that table out there in the counter, and I want you to sign up for a group. Well, I don't know anybody in this group. Wonderful. You'll get to meet some new people. Well, what if I don't like them? Well, that'll be fine, because they probably won't like you either. With that attitude, who would, right? So you go and you put yourself in a place that's frightening sometimes, uncomfortable sometimes, but it helps you grow up, doesn't it? You see, we don't want to move to places where God can take us and help us grow. We want to tend to stay in the places we're comfortable, and thus we don't grow in God, do we? And God said, if you're going to grow in me, it's going to be because of your relationship with me, which is marked by your relationship with other people. And if you're unwilling to have those relationships, your growth is going to be severely hindered in your walk with God. Sometimes a relationship is not for you, other than for you having it for the other person. See, if you think all relationships are about what you're going to get out of it, people aren't going to be like being around you sometimes. But if your relationships are because, what do I have to give? And I can give and give and give, and I don't necessarily have to get anything back from this one. I've got other ones that are fine. I have something to give. Every person in this room this morning, you've got something to give. And you are at a place where someone has something for you to receive. But if you've closed that door, and if you don't open it up, and you think you're fine just as you are, then you don't understand Christianity. And you don't understand how much God loves you and how much God wants to help you. Because my relationships are a testimony of my commitment to Christ. Jesus speaking. Now I'm giving you a new commandment. Here we go again. Love each other. Pretty simple, right? Hello? Yeah, okay. Just as I have loved you, you should love each other. So how does God love me? Okay, that's the way I need to love people, right? Boy, that was overwhelming right there, okay? Your love for one another will prove to the world that you're my disciples. Why is it the people outside the church have a hard time with Christians? Because we haven't learned how to love each other. You see, they don't know we're his disciples by the signs we carry in protest. They don't know how we're a Christian just because we can quote some chapters and verses and talk about how great God is. What'll change their attitudes and their hearts and their minds is when they see us loving each other. Because that's what the world's looking for, isn't it? Love, acceptance, forgiveness. Loving people just as they are. You don't try to change them. You're not there trying to fix them. You're just there to love them. And you have a big family here to love. So how are you going to become all you can be? You live by faith. It's where it all starts. Then you choose freedom. You begin to think godly ways of what's right and what's wrong, and God's ways, not yours. And then you choose to follow. I'm going to choose to follow you with everything that I am and everything that I have. And that choosing is, I will choose to have good relationships with you. Maybe you're here today and you need to begin with your relationship with God. Maybe you don't have a relationship with God like you should. Maybe you're at a place where you've just kind of done your own thing, thinking you're fine, God and you are good, and you realize today, no, God doesn't serve me, I've got to serve him. And that's where you need to start this morning. Maybe for some of you, it's understanding how important relationships are and needed in your life, and you just need to open up that door a little bit, and you need to take a step and begin to allow other people in so that you can have the benefit of their life in you so that God can work through them to help you. For some of you, you need to forgive. You've been holding a grudge against somebody. You've been thinking wrong about somebody. And that's hurting you and hurting them. And you need to fix that. For some of you, it's just a matter of recognizing the need. I need people in my life. And I need to open the door. Wherever you're at this morning, relationships are commanded. And they're critical. And you have to pursue them consistently. That's what God asks. And if you're a follower of Christ, you obey. Would you take a moment and just bow your head?
Thank you for joining us for today's service. If you would like to talk with someone about what you've heard, please visit our website at faith.ag. or call us at 239-543-2700. If you're in the Fort Myers area and don't already have a church home, you're invited to join us for Sunday morning at 8:15 and 10:45 a.m. Faith Assembly is located at 7101 Bayshore Road. Join us again next week for Sunday Morning. Faith Assembly Sunday Morning is a production of Faith Assembly Media Tech, North Fort Myers, Florida.